I'm happy all the day. And Lord, we thank you for another privilege. Although we're unworthy, we thank you now for your goodness and grace. We're here to worship the one that made us, the one that made our breakfast, the one that made our lunch, the one that's going to give us our air to breathe and gave us the lungs to breathe the air. We owe you a praise. And if you don't do nothing else, oh Lord, you made us happy all the day. And now I am happy. You made me happy all the day. Hey. And now I am happy. I'm happy all the day. Hey. Right now, we are happy. The day. Now breathe on us afresh what you would have us to say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, let us look now. You may be, let me see. Amen. Let's go to the scripture. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. So we want to continue this message on grown on, because prayer works. Amen. Can everybody say grown on? Because prayer works. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Bless you. Holler at me after service if you don't mind. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, these women and these singing and the children and the prayers and the, amen. It's too much. It's just too much. Amen. But we want to say that someone has said that it's not what you say, but how you say it. But the question becomes, what do you do when you don't know how to say it? What do you do when you don't know how to say it? Amen. What you have to do is to just keep on. Amen. Saying it anyway. Just go on. Amen. And pray anyway. Just groan on. Because if you're not careful, you'll stop groaning. Our prayers turn into groans because we don't know exactly what to always say. Amen. A groan is that deep, inarticulate sound in response to pain or despair. It's deep. And we can't articulate it. We can't get the words right. We don't have the right words. We can't put our thoughts into words. Since our words are vehicles that carry our thoughts, we're not able to express to God exactly what we need. So we just we start groaning. Amen. And we stop groaning when we don't get the results we want. And that's the reason why we have this aim, is for us to respect God's will. Amen. In prayer. It's not to get what we want anyway. If your heart is right, you want to do and get what he wants you to have. And so we say groan on. As we groan, we already saw the importance of prayer. Prayer is important, and we'll see a few things about that more. We already saw the inarticulation of prayer. We don't always are not able to put it into words. And we concluded or tried to deal with the intent of prayer, and that is we intend on saying what God wants for our lives, not what we want God to want for our lives. We don't know what to pray. Sometimes people just pray the scriptures. Amen. That's what you know. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. I'm the head and not the tail. Pray what the Bible says about me. You can't go wrong when you're praying what God said. Amen. Just pray on. I can do all things. Amen. Put that in a prayer. Amen. Or you can pray the model prayer that Jesus taught. They had asked Jesus in Luke 11 and 1 to teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father. When you pray, say, amen, Our Father. The model, it was not something that you have to necessarily pray all the time as your prayer, but it is the model. It includes those basic ingredients of acknowledging God, amen, and asking God for forgiveness and for food and help you to overcome the forces of temptation, and that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's God's kingdom. We can pray, and we can pray for unity as the disciples. Jesus said, if there's nothing else that I want to get for my people, I want to get, pray that they be one, that these disciples be one. We can pray for a lot of things. We can pray for sick people. Amen. The Bible says, is there any sick among you? Amen. The Bible, you can pray for church workers. Staff. Amen. That's what's so sad sometimes. I may come back to it, but when it seems like we as a church don't meet, and as if we don't need nothing. Amen. Amen. It's kind of like we don't need to, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to. Amen. But the Bible tells us that we ought to pray. Pray for staff. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Amen. And pray that, how do you get it? That the Lord, amen, that God will send forth laborers. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can pray for some employees. Lord, send me some help. Right. Pray for lost souls. Amen. Salvation. Paul says, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You can pray when it comes to secular things, issues. Pray for, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 2, to pray for the kings, to pray for princes, those in authority, those who are running this world, amen, that they'll make godly decisions, amen. Pray for the decisions. We can pray for strength, amen. Jesus fell beneath his own weight, and he prayed three times and said, and there appeared angels. God dispatched angels. Apparently, angels were there strengthening him, showed up on the scene while Jesus was praying. You ever, amen, got weak? Amen. We need to be strong. We need to be solid as we go out to worship the Lord and preach. And Paul says, in this issue of spiritual warfare, we need to understand that when you put on the whole armor, you're not fully dressed until you're praying. You got on all the equipment, but you ain't got nothing on the inside. Praying always and supplication in the spirit with thanksgiving. The Bible says, Paul says, pray for me, Paul says. Amen. Paul needed prayer. I think if Jesus and Paul needed prayer, and if they needed to pray, don't you think we, amen. And he says that, pray for me in verse 20 of Ephesians 6, that I may speak boldly as I ought to. I'm an ambassador for Christ. But I may get weak out there. And I need to stand solid on a good foundation. I need to be strong. I need to be bold. I don't need to be flimsy and shaky. Amen. I need to stand firm. And he says that I need to pray. He says that I may speak boldly as I ought to, that I might open my mouth. Well, you can pray for anything. Amen. Man, you can be 90 years old and want to have children. You can still pray. Amen. Amen. Is there anything too hard? Now, as you thought about that, you probably thought that that was impossible. I mean, the children are over there in children's church. We're not worried about them. But you may want to have some children at 90 or 100. And if I start talking to you about it, you might say, now, let's not be ridiculous. Let's not. Well, I'm asking you, Asher, is there anything? I think you think there's some things too hard. I don't know. I'm not going to accuse you. I just kind of got in my head that maybe some folk think that some things are too hard for God. I mean, it may be too hard for me, but if God says so, it will be. Have I got a witness? Pray about anything. Pray about everything. And everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace will keep your hearts and mind. Amen. He'll give you a peace that passeth all understanding. And he'll keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Pray about everything. Pray about anything. Amen. But you got to be careful when you pray, because your sin may dam up the line. Amen. Amen. If I keep iniquity in my heart, if I got sin on the line, amen, then God won't hear. Amen. It's too much static. Sin puts static on the line. It blocks my prayer from going through. It don't make it, because sin is on the line. And it, amen. Something else is killing the signal. Amen. The one version says this way, if I had ignored my sin, the Lord would not have listened to me. Amen. I got to keep the line clear. When I go to praying, I got to make sure the line is clear. I'm not doing something that I should not be doing. I got to make sure that, amen, the line is that I've got confessed sin off the line, and that my relationship with God, we don't speak in terms. You know how it is, if you don't make up with your spouse and you're not on speaking terms, and you start wanting things and you say, look, we're not on speaking terms. I'm not giving you no water. I'm not giving you nothing. Because we're not on speaking terms. You got to be on speaking terms. A lot of us been doing things. If you're doing things God don't want you to do, then you're not really on speaking terms with God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. He will not hear me. Well, the fact of the matter is, another thing that we got to recognize is that if we really want to know God is going to answer our prayer, we're going to pray. It said, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything? If it's according to his will, then he's here. He hears us. I don't have sin on the line, and I got to pray according to his will. He heareth us. And that is what is critically important. And this is the confidence. I got confidence. You can have assurance that God will answer your prayer. Amen. When you confess your sins and when you want what he wants. Amen. You got to want what he wants. Some people say, won't God give you the desires of your heart? But then your heart should have changed. Amen. When your heart is changed, then God will give you the desires, and we'll get to that, but of the heart. But we have to pray, and this is where it comes to, according to his will, we know that the world is groaning. Amen. We know that the planet is groaning in verse 22. We know that the people are groaning in verse 23. And in verse 26, we see that the spirit is groaning. It's a lot of groaning going on. We groan and we get in prayer and we can't put our words together and we don't know all the story and we're not careful. It'll dam up our prayers. We won't stop. We'll stop praying. And but I'm here to tell you, even when you can't get the words right, go ahead and pray. Because prayer works. To pray always without ceasing. Pray. It doesn't mean pray without stopping because I got to go get some water. It means pray without quitting. Hey, man, I got to go to work, so I can't be praying all the time. But I need to be in a frame of mind, an attitude of prayer all the time. And I need to be wanting God's will. It's second nature that I'm wanting and a passionate in my heart. Everything I do, I'm breathing. I'm living and breathing God's will. I want what he wants done. That's my prayer. It's an urgent request from God about the desire that you have. But the fact of the matter is that we need prayer. And what happens is the Spirit takes our prayer and then it lets God know what it really intend on happening. Amen. What God's intent is for our lives. When you talk about an intent, it's an aim, it's a plan or a purpose. Amen. Amen. We know that we got to pray. Amen. Prayer is important. We know that we can't always put our words into prayers. And we know that the Holy Spirit will pray what we intend to say. That's what he gonna tell God. Because if you got God, if you pray in God's will, you're going to want what he wants. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, let me say this first. He said, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. You ever been able to get the words together? And then you just almost felt like, I don't need to be praying. I need. But he said, the Holy Spirit tells God, this is what they intend to do. Because, Lord, they are concerned about you. Because you got to be God's child to pray. Right. Amen. The Bible said, you know, God don't hear the prayer of a sinner unless his first prayer is, Lord, save me. Yes. And now you become a child of God. But until then, but if you a child of God, your heart ought to be right. And so as we think about this, what we got to understand is the intent. We have to look at the purpose and the participation and the power, amen, of that intent. Amen. The purpose is that we want God's will to be done. That's the intent. You say, what about what I want? It's not about what you want. Amen. When I think about the purpose, think about what the psalmist said in Psalm 48. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yeah, thy law is within my heart. God's law is in my heart. It's not on the Ten Commandments on the wall no more. He says, I'm going to write my law in your heart. I'm going to put it in you. And now your heart is ruled by my laws. So I don't say, Lord, I delight to do my will, O Lord. I delight to do thy will. Yes, he'll give you the desires of your heart in Psalms 37. I didn't look that up before, I believe it is. But he'll give you the desires of your heart. But when you become a Christian, your desires change. I don't come to God. I'm going to talk about that heart next week. I don't come to God with an old heart. Amen. I got a new heart. And now what I want is people saved. I want his will to be carried out. I want his wishes fulfilled. I want God's will to be coming to pass. That's what my prayer is about. It's not about getting what I want to come to pass. It's about getting what God wants to come to pass. His will to come to pass. And I enter into it. I must realize that I am in spiritual warfare. prayer is a spiritual weapon. Now, the police can lock you up, but they can only deal with the physical. They can put you behind bars, but you're just a thief behind bars. You're still a thief. Your heart is still the same. They locked you up. They put you in detention. They took your keys. They told you you couldn't drive no more. Amen. They locked you behind bars because you were stealing. But they did nothing for the heart. Nothing for the heart. Amen. And this is spiritual warfare. We do something for the heart. The church is the only place dealing with folks' heart. And I'm going to deal with that next week about how, what the Spirit does to the heart. Oh, I should have been preaching probably now, but the thing is that this is spiritual warfare. Paul said when you put on all of your equipment, he says, praying always in the Spirit with supplication, with thanksgiving. You ought to let your prayer be known unto God. Run it by God to see if it's worthy of his acceptance first. God may not want you to have that. You say, I'm praying for a job. I need a raise. He said, you ain't getting no raise because you don't tithe with what you got now. You're not tithing off of $10. Why am I going to give you a job so you can disobey me more than you already? I wish I had a witness. I'm not going to give you more to disobey me with. You don't need that yet. So, Lord, I want to work. I was on the internet and I found a job in Nebraska. Well, I want you in Kentucky. I mean, I want you in Nebraska. So, I'm not, that wheel ain't going through. Amen. Prayer unanswered. Can't do it. Won't be answering that. You see, we want God. Prayer is not an exercise by which you talk God into doing what you want him to do. You do not know more than him. He's omniscient and you're finite. You're limited and he's unlimited. And so, therefore, why should you be in charge? Why should you order God around? God, do that, do that, do that. I'll see you tomorrow, maybe. No, God said, look. God said, look. I know everything, okay? Let me let you in on something. And I know that if you got that, you're going to do that. So I ain't ready for you to have that yet because you ain't been to church. You ain't been to church school. You ain't mature enough for it yet. Some stuff you want, your kids ever wanted something you wouldn't let them have? And you had it? And if you were immature, you give it to them. But you find out over time, not yet. If I give them this now, it'll ruin them. I can't give them that. You can't talk God into doing stuff that you want. You don't know more than God. God knows what you're ready for. And when you're ready, he'll give you what you need. Amen. But you think you need some things he don't think you need. Amen. You call him wants or need. Well, let me get back. The truth of the matter is, he said, what I'm going to do is the Holy Spirit knows what's in the mind of the. Isn't that interesting? When you look at this, what you find out basically is that it says in Romans 8, it says that we have the Holy Spirit. We have in verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves are groaning. Now we got His Spirit in us, and if you go back to verse 27, it says He searches our heart, He connects with our spirit, and He knows what's in the mind of the Holy Spirit. And then he tells God that's what they want. All right. I know what they want, but this is what they intended. Right. If they really my child, I'm interpreting you. I'm interceding for them. I'm taking that prayer, and I'm giving you what they really intended to ask for. Because they can't put it into words. Well, he says that, and the Spirit searches the heart, and he knows what the Lord's in the mind of the Spirit. He knows what God is in approval of, and he maketh intercession for the saints. You know what? Not according to your will, but according to the will of God. Do you want what God wants you to have? Do you want what God wants? Amen. That's what, you want one thing, but he intended, he wants you to have this. Well, lest I hold you too long. Amen. What we have to understand here simply is that the Holy Spirit, We think about purpose. That's what prayer is. But look at the participation. Amen. Our participation. The psalmist says, three times a day, evening, morning, and noon will I pray. We ought to have a place of time that we get together alone with God. Amen. And this is a personal prayer, not a public prayer. You know, oftentimes people come to church and they pray personal prayer. But you're not supposed to be doing a lot of personal praying. And you don't supposed to pray about everybody's business at prayer. But the setting calls for, amen, we ought to pray, amen, for the church as and our personal prayers, we should pray in the closet. I wish I had a witness. We don't tell all our business and other folk business. Sometimes you can just listen to that folk prayer and tell them everything you want to do. Mm-hmm. What's going on? They'll say everything you mm-hmm. Talking about somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, we found that out through somebody's prayer. God's supposed to be fine. See, when you're talking to anyone other than God, you're not having a prayer. You're having a conversation. Now, the fact of the matter is, unless I hold you, the truth is that we need the evening, day. The Jews started in the evening because, amen, for them, the day started in the evening. God made the earth, and he said the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning was the second day. The evening and the... So, amen, Monday starts today at 6 o'clock on Sunday.